This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Black Friday has officially started at Blinds.com, and the savings are huge. Right now, you can save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Don't wait. These deals are happening right now. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. With Blinds.com, there are no long lines or confusing quotes. You shop online without sacrificing quality, style, or service. One of our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Plus, you get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Blinds.com's Black Friday sales event is happening now with our best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Nothing is off limits as host Sophia Franklin dishes on her personal life, like toxic relationships, dating and hookups, and dealing with insecurities. All with humor and real talk. Find Sophia with an F on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
12:03, Monday afternoon, November 25th. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us on the Noon Business Hour. I'm Rob Hart. Wicked has defeated Gladiator in the battle for the weekend box office. We'll take a closer look at our next segment, but right now, the busy week ahead includes the official kickoff of the holiday shopping season as consumer spending takes center stage. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Tom Hudson, financial journalist in Miami, Florida. Tom, thank you for joining us today. Kind of a strange week for economic data and for analysis, because chances are a lot of people have set up their out-of-office notifications on their emails. Probably did that Friday afternoon, and if not that, they're doing it tomorrow or Wednesday. But we do have some numbers coming out this week, especially when it comes to home prices. What is the state of the housing market, and what will the Case-Shiller figure tell us tomorrow?
It's going to tell us that demand for single-family homes remains strong. The mortgage rates have been a tempering effect, certainly for those looking to get into the housing market as first-time buyers, and it remains a constraint on those perhaps looking to trade up. But overall, we have an historic undersupply of single-family homes in this country dating back to the Great Recession, and that shows no signs of abating.
And before we move on to some other reports coming out this week, I mean, that shortage in housing, which does, you know, date back to the financial crisis 16 years ago, that is such an acute issue in this country, especially in states like California and New York, that it became an issue in the presidential race. So what can be done from a policy standpoint to address that shortage? I mean, there are some states that really are just going full speed ahead with building as much housing as humanly possible, but there are some other states that have a lot of red tape in the way.
Yeah, this is not necessarily a federal government issue. It certainly is, because housing affordability is a national issue affecting so many different communities. And there can be incentives put up on the national side of things that can make capital a little bit easier, could, you know, perhaps reduce some of the transactional costs on buying a home and work to try to lower some of mortgage rates, certainly. But this is really a local government issue. And this is where, you know, the government closest to the people is closest to the people. It's about building permits. It's about zoning and rezoning and upzoning areas. It's about adaptive reuse for, you know, office buildings that may not be necessarily filled with work from home workers anymore. It's about kind of all of the above efforts by regulators to provide incentives for builders to not only build new but also repurpose properties in order to provide roofs over homes, over heads of Americans.
And then we get to Friday, and of course, it's a tradition unlike any other, Tom, and that is TV footage of people in line outside of Walmart, outside of Target, outside of Best Buy. It's the unofficial, it's actually the official kickoff to the holiday shopping season, Black Friday. What is the forecast for holiday shopping this year, and what are some factors that may be weighing on our minds as we do all of our holiday shopping this year?
Well, I think one factor is higher interest rates and the fact that credit card debt is at near or close to near record highs already. Americans have an enormous appetite to charge and to put off for tomorrow so they can buy today. That is certainly there's certainly lots of appetite in the market to provide those kinds of short-term lending, even at the interest rates that we're talking about. But consumers' appetites, consumers' behaviors, and consumer confidence here remain really key for a healthy holiday shopping season. The unemployment rate still historically low. Wage growth is continuing, and we're likely to see the latest Federal Reserve's favorite inflation figure to show that inflation is tempering. Now, prices aren't going down. We're not talking about returning to prices before COVID. We don't want that as Americans. That's deflation. That's an entirely different problem. We're talking about price increases, the month-over-month, year-over-year price increases slowing down substantially, and they have been.
Tom Hudson, financial journalist based in Miami, thank you for joining us today. Coming up, the witches rule the weekend at the movies.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It was a solid weekend at the box office as Wicked posted a record-breaking $114 million in its opening weekend, making it the biggest Broadway adaptation debut ever, while Gladiator II took in over $55 million. Joining us to help us break it down is Paul DeGarabedian, senior media analyst for the box office tracking company Comscore in Los Angeles. Paul, thank you for joining us today. Should not be a surprise to hear that Wicked is doing as well as analysts had expected, because my kids are off of school for the all week for Thanksgiving, and the first item on the list for what they were going to do during their time off was go with their friends to see Wicked. So a lot of people, if they haven't seen the movie already over the weekend, they will see it this week, especially if they're off of school.
That's right, and they're not alone in that. I mean, so many people went to see this movie and Gladiator 2 over this very momentous pre-Thanksgiving weekend for movie theaters. I mean, just the top two films alone generated almost $170 million. And worldwide, Wicked, $163 million. That's the biggest opening weekend for a film based on a Broadway adaptation, ahead of Les Miserables, which did $103 million. So $163 million worldwide for this film. Incredible.
And there was a little bit of cross-pollination between Gladiator and Wicked, kind of another Barbenheimer phenomenon, but now it's called Glicked. And is there any indication, Paul, that that actually worked?
Well, you know, I think these movies would have performed the way they did no matter what, because they both had great internationally appealing casts, excellent reviews, huge marketing campaigns, and a great simultaneous release date to each other. Now, that certainly built up the awareness, but if the movies weren't there, that would be a problem, because you can have all this hype and all this excitement, but if the movies don't deliver, and by all indications, these movies do, the reviews are out, they're great, audiences are all over social media dressed up as gladiators, dressed up as witches. I mean, that's a kind of organic groundswell of excitement that you just can't buy. It has to happen organically. So I think it did elevate both films' whole idea of Glicked. But Barbenheimer was a much bigger box office play, but that was in the summer. That was the weekend of July 21st last year.
Now, I think if you listen to this show long enough, you know that nothing is ever really new. We just keep bringing it back in a new way. And we've talked about how back in the 50s and 60s, when television really took a lot of market share from the movie theater business, the movie industry responded with these big epics, the Swords and Sandals epics and giant musicals that you have to see in the theater. And here we are in 2024 on the cusp of 2025, and you have a musical and a Swords and Sandals epic pulling people away from streaming.
You know, what's old is new again, and certain genres are just perfectly tailored for the big screen experience, whether it's Ben-Hur, Spartacus, The Wizard of Oz, or Wicked and Gladiator. Something's never changed, and the epic sweep of Gladiator and the musical, you know, vibe of Wicked in a movie theater. And let's not forget, the sound is very important. We always talk about the big screen, but think about it, unless you have the most incredible sound system at home, when you go to a movie theater, you're being immersed not only, you know, your vision, but the sound. You know, the sound and vision come together in that way. And you're right, that's how the studios combated the fear of the television coming into play and stealing viewers by having these big epics on the big screen. And guess what? That still works today. You made a great point there, Rob.
And then very quickly, Paul, earlier this year, I saw The Fall Guy in the theater, and it opens with the director saying, thank you for seeing this movie in the theater. Is the movie theater industry, do they still have to really work hard to get people back?
Yeah, they do, because it is a bigger, effort to go out of your home, drive or get transportation to the theater, go into the theater, buy your concessions. It's fun, but as opposed to sitting on your couch, which is very passive. But people love going to the movies, and something like Lick It or Barbenheimer could only happen in that communal setting of the movie theater. That's where you get those big culturally significant moments that are based around that communal experience of the big screen in cinemas around the world.
Paul DeGarabedian, senior media analyst for the box office tracking company Comscore, based in Los Angeles. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up, gifts that fit the hard-to-shop-for dad.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Finding the perfect holiday gift for dad can be tough. Joining us with some advice is Jennifer Waters, Chicago-based business reporter. Jennifer, thank you for joining us today. And a lot of people listening today, no doubt, stressing over... how do you fill out your Christmas list? How do you make sure everybody gets something they like and it says, I care? And every now and then, for some people, a dad could be the toughest person to shop for.
Isn't that the truth? And I'm sure your children struggle with it, too. But, yeah, it can be really hard. Most dads will say, or at least dads I know, and even not even just dads, but also boyfriends and such, will say something to the extent of, oh, I don't really need anything. I don't want you to spend money on me. I don't, you know, save your money for whatever, that kind of thing. But, you know, you want to put some thought into it and give him something he can actually use. And so you have to really be creative about what you want to do. Experiences are obviously one great option. We've seen a lot of gift giving that way. But, I mean, I know some retirees who are now into cooking, for example. So then you can look at, you know, what they may or may not want to try to get into, say, a pizza oven or a sous vide kit or something like that. But I did a search, and actually, if you do a what to get dad for Christmas search on Google, you'll be shocked at how many articles there are about it that range from like Good Housekeeping to the New York Times to GQ magazine with ideas. And so some of them were pretty good. A lot of them had food involved, if you're, you know, or drink if your guy is, you know, like a specific bourbon or whiskey or something, then you just kind of get him a top shelf bottle he might not buy for himself. Food, if he's into some, you know, different kinds of food, you can try all different things. I saw things like a beanie with that had a light on it that you can use for, you know, if you're going walking or taking the dog out or something like that. But I also thought, boy, if you're grilling at night in the winter, that would be helpful too. But all kinds of things like that. I mean, things like bird feeders or waffle makers or a dumbbell set that's got adjustable weights on it. I mean, you got to think about what it is he does, what he likes to do, what his hobbies are, and then maybe go down that alley.
And on top of that, I mean, it doesn't have to be stuff. It doesn't have to be a thing. It could also be experiences. And
right.
Let's talk about our hypothetical retiree who likes to cook or wants to get into cooking. There are a number of places across the Chicago area that do offer a cooking class or cooking classes for you to try.
Yeah. And Chopping Block, Sur La Table, those, you know, and even places like the Botanic Garden will offer cooking classes and art classes too, if they're into that.
And I've also discovered, my kids do a very good job. I'm a big griller. So last year they just gave me a big Rubbermaid container just full of different types of wood for smoking, and I used it all year long. The
nice
headphones I'm currently wearing were a Christmas present 5 years ago. So there's usually one thing that just gets a lot of life after the holidays are over. So I understand where people are coming from, but also I got to get something for my dad as well. And he's listening, so I'm not going to say what it is.
Tech gadgets are really hot too, and you can find a lot of them that can help you with everything from grilling to cooking to even golf. I mean, there's a lot of tech gadgets out there to go for, and the experience one, get them a night out on the town, things like that.
Jennifer Waters, Chicago-based business reporter, thank you for joining us today. Yes, it's always difficult to have what you're getting your family for the holidays discussion because you can't really keep secrets on a 50,000-watt radio station.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. I'm Rob Hart. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. A young woman is recovering after being shot while at a popular downtown shopping area. This is expected to be a record-setting week for Thanksgiving travel. Changes are coming in the new year to your 401k retirement savings plans. And it's Stock Picker Monday. We'll get a couple of ideas from an investing pro. WBBM Business. The markets are higher. The Dow is up 348 points, NASDAQ up 41, S&P 500 up 14, 51 degrees right now in Chicago under cloudy skies. It's 12:31, topping our news at the half hour. A male juvenile is in police custody after a weekend shooting that left a young woman wounded outside the Macy's store on State Street in downtown Chicago. It happened around 9 Saturday night as the street was crowded with early holiday shoppers. This is 34th Ward Alderman William Conway.
Transit police were able to catch the offender essentially on the CTA, recover a weapon as well.
The 19-year-old victim was walking on the sidewalk when she was hit. She was taken to the hospital in fair condition. AAA predicts nearly 80 million people will travel 50 miles or more between tomorrow and next Monday. The details from CBS's Chanel Call.
Millions of travelers from coast to coast have to contend with some dicey winter storms. Those are already hitting the Pacific Northwest and Northern California, expected to hit the rest of the country later this week.
Our forecast high for Thanksgiving Day is just 37 degrees. It'll be even colder over the weekend. It's 12:32 as the Noon Business Hour continues. Markets are higher today. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Matt Shapiro, President MWS Capital in Chicago. Matt, thank you for joining us today. And this market rally on this Monday, it's the equivalent of the movie critics putting 4-star reviews out for a particular holiday blockbuster. The markets really like the Trump administration pick for Treasury Secretary.
Scott Bessent, who was the early on favorite, campaigned with Donald Trump, markets are just absolutely cheering. The Russell 2000 is at a high. The Dow is at a high. We've come back a little bit with the NASDAQ and the S&P a little bit under. But the big story is interest rates, which are plunging. So rates are coming down. That's good for bonds. That's overall great for investors. And it's really because of, so they say, the pick of Scott Bessent for Treasury Secretary and his what is interpreted really as a supply side pro growth agenda, but really, you know, nothing too radical, more like a traditional Republican Treasury economic agenda.
Because there are two schools of thought about the incoming Trump administration. Obviously, if you are on the side of the equity markets, you like the fact that the tax cut package that was passed in 2017 will be extended or even be a little more generous starting next year with a Republican Congress. And of course, lower regulations on business, part and parcel of any Republican administration. But the other side of that coin was concern about how the Trump administration was going to enact tariffs. During the campaign, the president-elect said that tariffs would be one way to pay for tax cuts, and that really kind of flies in the face of free trade and would be inflationary. And it's the signal that's also sent about how tariffs would be implemented, if at all.
Well, you know, I think Mr. Bessent has had a more balanced view of tariffs, seeing them as more a political international global bargaining chip for Trump, and a slightly more traditional in terms of we're not going to end in, you know, some inflationary tariff spiral. And a lot of trade has already shifted to Mexico and Canada over the last few years. They are now our largest trading partners. But I think the bigger story about the Treasury pick is really that maybe, yeah, we have tax cuts, but maybe there's not going to be as much stimulus under Trump with a somewhat more, you know, middle of the road pick, i.e., you know, the federal deficit, which is 7% of GDP right now, is really high. And that's something that's going to have to be addressed. So I think there's an expectation that, yes, the tax cuts will be extended, but there's going to be a lot more fiscal discipline overall, especially at least right now. The market sees that Bessent is the guy to deliver this.
And also, what was interesting about the first Trump term, at least up until the outbreak of COVID-19, was that there was stimulus, but it all came through monetary policy. It came from low interest rates. It came from quantitative easing. And we're in a very different place now as far as the Fed is concerned, as far as fiscal policy is concerned.
Yes, there's less room for error here. And Scott Bessent published actually an editorial in the Wall Street Journal after the election, which said that the Treasury actually needs to borrow differently. Right now, we're borrowing heavily in the shorter term markets, which have rates of about 4.6%. And he wants the Treasury to borrow more on the longer end, which will put upward pressure on those long term interest rates. But at least today, everyone just sort of just really likes the picture. Interest rates are down about 10 or 12 basis points. That's good for mortgages. The stock we talked about last Friday, Louisiana Pacific, that sells siding for houses, is up about 5%. So that's what's really moving today in the market.
Matt Shapiro, President, MWS Capital in Chicago, thank you for joining us today. Coming up next, what you need to know about changes to 401k accounts.
The only program dedicated to currency events. You're listening to the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Changes are coming after the first of the year to 401k retirement savings accounts. Let's get the update from Ed Jurtzen, certified financial planner and founder of the Engage Wealth Group in Chicago, the website engagewealthgroup.com. Ed, thank you for joining us today. And one of the most interesting changes coming to 401ks next year deals with a problem that many Americans are having. Roughly 4 in 10 workers say they're behind in their retirement savings, and this policy change will help them catch up.
Yeah, Rob. Yeah, the Secure Act 2.0 that was brought about from Congress in 2022 is allowing folks to actually save a lot more. Now, of course, with all things IRS, this is relatively complicated. So those individuals who are 59 through 62 years old this year are able to make an additional catch-up contribution to their 401ks, 403bs, of an additional $11,250. Now, that's on top of the already $23,500 that they're going to have. But it's important to remember it's those ages that are only going to be ages 60 through 63 throughout next year. So if you happen to be 63 next year and turn 64, you won't be eligible. So check with your plan participation, check with your HR to make sure you're putting away the amount that you should be putting away.
And even if you are a part-time worker, that does not mean you can't save for your retirement through a tax-deferred vehicle. And one of the policy changes also allows part-time workers to jump into the 401k pool a lot faster compared to before.
Yeah, this is a great change. So before, part-time workers had to wait three consecutive years of working 500 hours before they're eligible. They cut one full year out of it. So starting next year, it's 2 years. Now, part-time workers generally don't have a lot of cash flow per se, but what a great opportunity to start putting some monies away and hopefully earning a company match in that 401k or 403b.
And then there are some new rules about mandatory enrollment in 401k plans.
Yeah, there's some, you know, back and forth, I won't say controversy on this, but what new 401k plans will have is an automatic enrollment, which means you are hired to the company and you have to opt out of your 401k. Now, listeners don't have to be nervous about this because there's the current 401ks will be grandfathered. They can't just force you into that. You can always opt out. But we're big fans of auto enrollment because if you've got yourself enrolled at a starting point of 3% of compensation, and that's where it is, with the ability to kind of move up 1% per year, which is known as auto escalation, what a great way to have what I'll call forced savings. So there are some definite benefits to getting into the plan. And remember, Rob, most of these individuals, right, it's not a question of, you know, geez, I don't have enough, I don't have the limits to save. It's just cash flow issues. So remember, start a spending plan. Pay yourself first, but absolutely try to maximize the match, right? That's free money in your retirement accounts. So again, prioritize saving first for all eligible participants in these plans to take advantage of these benefits coming down the road.
But even if you are auto-enrolled in a 401k plan, I mean, obviously any retirement savings, it's good retirement savings, but you should probably be a little more proactive because you could choose which type of asset allocation you want and could potentially take advantage of a company-sponsored retirement savings plan that may be a little more aggressive than the one you're defaulted into.
Well, and that's an absolute good point, Rob, is be aware of what you're getting into. So most of the default investments are going to be what are known as target date funds, which is all dependent on in terms of your age and your expected date of retirement. So we're big fans of target date funds because it's almost on autopilot in terms of investments. But if you're more aggressive in terms of your savings and you have a good understanding of the markets, then look at the different available options so you're just not defaulted into the status quo investment. So great point. Look at your other options, investigate the other options. But at the very minimum, you know, if you're on autopilot, then it's good to go. And your savings are on autopilot. What a great combination to really start saving for those future years.
Ed Jurtzen, certified financial planner, founder of the Engage Wealth Group in Chicago. Find him online at engagewealthgroup.com. Join us at this time tomorrow for Travel Tuesday. And still to come, our Monday stock picker.
It's because money matters. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
And it's Stock Picker Monday. Joining us with a pair of investment ideas is J.J. Kinahan, CEO of IG North America, president of Tasty Trade in Chicago. JJ, thank you for joining us today. Now, there are some weeks on the Stock Picker Monday segment where we learn about companies that really make the world go round but are not household names. Like, you know, this is a company that makes screws that keep every building standing up. But In this case, JJ, you have two names that are tried and true, and you know who they are.
Absolutely. But what I tried to do a little bit different on this one, Rob, is tell you one where I think might be more of a shorter-term opportunity and one that may be a bit of a longer-term opportunity. And I'm looking at what our Tasty Trade clients are buying right now, and two of the stocks that just leap out in terms of bullish activity. First of all, Coca-Cola, which many may say, oh, my God, are you crazy, Coca-Cola, you know, with RFK Jr. going into his position, et cetera. You know, we've seen the stock sell off pretty good here since the election. However, many think this may be a little bit overdone, that the fear may be much greater than the reality. Now, the reason I say it's a shorter-term pick is because on December 3rd, they're going to have their earnings come out. So people may be, you know, this is maybe a shorter-term play for some. Those who are willing to take a little bit more risk, maybe a longer-term play through earnings. But I do think that there is something to the fact that this is one that may have gotten overdone, as so many people were like, it's going to be absolutely terrible for them. One of the things we've seen about Coca-Cola over the years is they're absolutely phenomenal at organic growth, both in the U.S. and around the world. So that's one of the reasons going into earnings that it may be an interesting play.
And then Meta as a potential long-term play.
Yeah, Meta is a longer-term play. This is a stock that traded at its intraday high, 602.95 back in early October, traded about 558 right now. And so this is one that's gotten a lot of upgrades recently. There was a little bit of a fear about the ruling that just happened in Australia as far as social media for children, which, you know, I think we can all kind of get behind. But with that all said, the stock continues to hang in there. It's been left for dead so many times, and it just seems like this is one that longer term continues to perform time after time. The one thing I'll warn people about this one is if you look at the options market tells us about it, if you are going to hold this stock, just to put it in perspective, from now till December 20th, the expected move is $34.50. That's up or down. So I will say if you are going to buy this one in real dollar terms, that's a bit of more risky.
J.J. Kinahan, CEO of IG North America, president of Tasty Trade in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today. His selections, Coca-Cola, K-O, as a short-term play, and Meta, M-E-T-A, as a long-term play.